ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 53 एतत् रूपम् अनुध्येयायम् एतत् रूपम् अनुध्येयायम् आत्मा शुद्धिम् अभीप्सतम् आत्मा शुद्धिम् अभीप्सतम् जद् भक्ति योगो भयादा जद् भक्ति योगो भयादा सधर्मम् अनुस्थितातम् स्वधर्मम् अनुस्थितातम् एतद्रूपम् अनुध्येयायम् आत्मा शुद्धिम् अभीप्सतम् जद् भक्ति योगो भयादा स्वधर्मम् अनुस्थितार्थम् एतद्रूपम् अनुधेयायम् आत्मा शुद्धिम् अभीप्सतम् जद् भक्ति योगो भयादा स्वधर्मम् अनुस्थितार्थम् एतत् दिस् रूपम् फोम् अनुधेयम् मस्ट् बी मेडिटेटेड् अपान् आत्मा सेल्फ् शुद्धिम् प्यूरिफिकेशन् अभीप्सतम् of those who are desiring so. Yet that which bhakti yoga, the devotional process, service, the devotional service, abhyadya, factual fearlessness, swadharmam, one's own occupational duties, anusthitastam, executing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Lord, those who desire to purify their existence must always engage in meditating upon your lotus feet, as described above. Those who are serious about executing their occupational duties and who want freedom from fear must take to this process of bhakti yoga. It is said that the transcendental name, form, pastime and entourage of the Lord cannot be appreciated by the blunt material senses. Therefore, one has to engage himself in devotional service so that the senses may be purified and one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, however, it is indicated that those who are constantly engaged in meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord are certainly purified by the material contamination of their senses and are thus able to see the Supreme Lord face to face. The word meditation is very popular in this age amongst the common people, but they do not know the actual meaning of meditation. However, from Vedic literature we learn that the yogis are always absorbed in meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Dhyana vasthitya tad gatena manasat manasa pasyanti yam yogina. Bhagavatam 12, 13, 1. This is the real business of the yogis, to think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore advises that one who is actually serious about purification must engage himself in this type of meditation or in the mystic yoga system, which will help him not only to see the Lord within constantly, but to see Him face to face and become His associate in Vaikuntha Loka or Goloka Vrindavan. The word Swadharmam, as Swadharmam Anusthitatam, indicates that the system of Varnasram, which indicates the occupational duties of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, and which is the perfect institution for humanity, must be supported by Bhakti Yoga if one at all wants security in life. Generally, people think that simply by executing the occupational duties of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, or the duty of a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas, one becomes fearless or securely attains liberation. But factually, unless all these occupational duties are accompanied by Bhakti Yoga, one cannot become fearless. Bhagavad Gita, there are descriptions of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, etc. But unless one comes to the point of Bhakti Yoga, these other yogas cannot help one attain the highest perfection of life. In other words, Bhakti Yoga is the only means for liberation. We find this conclusion also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai regarding a human being's liberation from this material world. In that discussion, Ramananda Rai referred to the execution of Varnashram Dharma, and Lord Chaitanya indicated that the Varnashram Dharma was simply external. Eho Bhaya. Lord Chaitanya wanted to impress upon Ramananda Rai that simply by executing the duties of a Varnashram Dharma, one is not guaranteed liberation. Finally, Ramananda Rai referred to the process of Bhakti Yoga. Sthane Sitha Sruti Gatam Tanu Van Manobhi. Bhagavatam 10.14.3. Regardless of one's condition of life, if he practices Bhakti Yoga, which begins with hearing Sruti Gatam, the transcendental message of the Lord, through the mouths of devotees, he gradually conquers the unconquerable God. God is known to be unconquerable, but one who submissively hears the words of a self-realized soul conquers the unconquerable. The conclusion is that if one is serious about liberation, he not only should execute the occupational duties of a Varnashram Dharma, but should also engage in Bhakti Yoga by beginning hearing from a realized soul. This process will help the devotee conquer the unconquerable Supreme Personality of Godhead and become His associate after giving up the material body. Hare Krishna. So, happy to be back in Melbourne Temple. It's all of you wonderful devotees and many others who are not here but they are around. Sometimes it's always nice to go to a smaller temple where it's also very sweet because there's a smaller community of devotees and everyone's, and they see each other very, they bump into each other because it's so close. And so Krishna is there everywhere. And also, this is a very unique temple, Melbourne Temple, because, Srila Prabhupada himself visited here and he gave a Srimad Bhagavatam class right from the Vyasa-san there. And he established the deities here. So there's a very unique temple. And I mean, I'm an experienced traveler. I've been around the world, ISKCON temples many times. This is one of the special temples of ISKCON. These days we have so many ISKCON temples all over the world. After Prabhupada left, there are established new temples all over the world. But amongst all those temples, you can tell yourself that this is a very unique temple. No doubt about that. And you can see the deities are so wonderful, and they're wonderful everywhere. But especially here, and I just took a photo of the flower tree on the courtyard. I mean, if you notice the flowers there, they're falling to the ground, and it's almost like you can lie on the ground and roll on it because it feels so good. And that all those flowers, like the petals, it's like it's not of this world. I mean, if you go on the main street of Melbourne, and the Swanston Street, and they have some flower tree there, but not like this. Because here, everything here is related to Krishna. That's the difference. Because here, it's the temple atmosphere where we can remind ourselves of Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada is explaining in the Prabhupada meditation, that we need to be very focused. Krishna consciousness is a very subtle matter. Not we do our duty. Prabhupada explains about the duty here. Duty is not only just a duty you do and then that's it, pass. Oh yeah, and then you hit the home. But duty is to actually be able to go deeper in ourselves and subtly meditate. And actually, am I actually pleasing Krishna? Am I doing this for the pleasure of Krishna? Am I doing this to pleasure my Guru Maharaj? So this is a very subtle. Devotional service is a very unique process because that's why Prabhupada is expressing on meditation. What's meditation? Prabhupada is saying, meditation sometimes people take it in the wrong way. It's a common word. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm now going to meditate. What is meditation? You lift your body and it rises up on something. Some people say, and your body comes up. What kind of meditation is that? You come down on the ground. We dance, we are up in the air already. Sing and dance, that's meditation. So bhakti yoga, process of devotional service, is the ultimate meditation. Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita that highest process of all the yoga siddhis, perfection, is the process of bhakti yoga, meditating on Him, on Krishna. Devotional service. So, all the temples, ISKCON temple all over the world, is to create this idea of coming here to people can appreciate Krishna consciousness. It's a very practical thing. It's not that you go to the mountain and you go somewhere very secluded and you meditate and try to get away from the world. But Prabhupada, our founder guru, he left those kind of places, went to the city, like New York, where people needed this spiritual knowledge. They're hungry for spiritual knowledge. They're hungry for Krishna consciousness, God consciousness. Where are you going to get that in the forest? It's very, you're simply going to the forest for your own self. But Paradukaduki, a sadhu, a great devotee, they feel very unhappy to see others suffering. That's what Paradukaduki. So the need for spiritual knowledge is the highest thing. To give that spiritual knowledge, that's what sadhu, a great devotee, do. That's why so Prabhupada went to the big cities. So Krishna consciousness is this process of bhakti yoga, is the yoginam api sarvesham. Krishna explains the highest yogi is the one who, sadhavan, is one who meditated on me, Krishna said, serving me. Manmanavagamat bhakta, those who are thinking of me, becoming a devotee, worshipping me, singing and dancing, conversing about me. Jivara lala sesa, that the tongue, I always want to vibrate. So we can talk about Krishna. We can taste foodstuff offered to Krishna. This way, we are engaging ourselves in the process of devotional service. So it's not something you can just go to the forest and forget about the world. Because the mind is always dwelling on sense objects and sense gratification. So the whole process of bhakti yoga is to engage ourselves and to engage others completely in the process. Whole idea is to completely engage ourselves and our mind in thinking of Krishna. Practicality, singing and dancing, people want to sing and so we can sing for Krishna. So, I've seen all the ISKCON temples. I've just been in the Hong Kong temple. It's a very materialistic city. People just like, they don't have even 5 minutes to stop to look at the devotee. We're going to hurry now. They don't even look at us. And it's not that we want people to look at us. This is because they are so absorbed in material life. They didn't have time to look towards God, look towards religion, search for God. They're just desperate to survive for material existence. His life is very tough. In Australia, everybody's having a good time. They don't think of life's existence, maybe a little bit. Everyone's going to the north and sunshine, and everybody has a big house and everybody has a car and to get around, and nobody thinks about. So there, it's very tough. And the devotees go out, they feel very hurt to see the condition of these living entities there, of their suffering. They really seriously, that's why those who become devotees in those countries, they're very sincere devotees. Also, like here. What I'm saying is that sometimes when you're suffering, you really take things seriously. When you're not suffering, you take for granted, even religion. Even though you see we're offering Krishna consciousness, but we don't take it 100% seriously. We do it or not do it because we feel we are secure in life. We have a good job, and we have things going for us, and we feel not need of religion, of Krishna consciousness, seriously. But when the trouble comes, Bhagavan, we run to Krishna. But actually, devotional service, bhakti, devotion, is when we understand the principle of human life. What is the process for liberation? This is what is spent here. Liberation. People want liberation. Freedom. Freedom doesn't mean you have everything material life. You don't have to work so hard. You have a good job. You have money. You have, freedom. Material freedom. That's not freedom, because you still have to struggle with your mind. Still have to struggle with your senses. And many problems in the mature world is not solved. And like Prabhupada always explains, birth, death, disease, old age. People may have all material things, but they still fall sick. So the real freedom is when we can understand through knowledge. Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga are very similar. Because Jnana Yoga means the process of knowledge. Attaining the Supreme. In the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains Jnana Yoga, attaining the Supreme through knowledge. And that knowledge has to come from sadhu, Prabhupada explains here. Mouth of a great devotee, sadhu, one who can explain to you. So if you hear this knowledge from someone who doesn't know, they can give you misinformation. So you have to hear Bhakti Yoga, you have to hear the process of devotional service from a sadhu, from a devotee who can impart you to you that knowledge. That's why that's called Guru Parampara. Evam para pra praptam imam raja sayobidu. Sakalayana mahota yoganasta praptapa. Krishna says the process of knowledge is handed down from guru to sadhu, to guru parampara, spiritual master to disciple. The chain of disciplic succession. So if people misrepresent the knowledge, they say something different from what their spiritual master said, then that knowledge is lost. Nasta parantapa. So this is why we have to hear this knowledge from a sadhu, a devotee who is pure in heart. They can purify you just by their association. That's what sadhu sangha means. Associating a devotee, they have the power to purify you. Like a touchstone. Prabhupada explained, a touchstone is, it touch anything, it turns into a gold, special stone. So similarly, a devotee, they are so pure that they can, by being with them, by associating with them, they have the power to purify you. So it's not that you can approach Krishna so easily. You can, but you have to go through the spiritual master. A spiritual master who can show you the path. Like tomorrow is Radharani's appearing day. She is standing next to Krishna. She is bringing the people to the feet of Krishna. So she is the most compassionate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Nayana. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually combination of Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to experience what Radharani experiences. Why she is so attached to Krishna? Why is she so in love with Krishna? Because so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself wanted to experience that. God himself, he doesn't know how much Radharani loves Krishna so much. What is it? What is that? She has that love for Krishna so much. He wanted to experience that himself. So Radharani is the personification of devotion. Personification of devotional service. She is immersed in love for Krishna. And she wants to see others bring to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is the position of a great devotee. They want to bring the fallen people of this material world to the lotus feet of Krishna. Then they are there free. That is real freedom. Freedom is when one can take shelter of Krishna. They are at the feet of Krishna. Just like a child. A child, they are totally dependent on the parents. That is their real freedom. They feel completely secure when they are with their parents. Similarly, devotee feels secure when we are at the feet of Krishna, when we are chanting Hare Krishna. That is a real freedom. Someone may say, you're talking nonsense. Just Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, sing in the street, and you can be so free and be so happy. Ask yourself, join in it. And it'll be free. Sometimes we go in Harinam and the people from the other side of the road, they say, these people are so happy. They may say that. Oh, this is Hare Krishna, wow. What are they're just singing and dancing like that. Like they're so mad. Because we are free from Tamil Krishna Maharaj used to say, when you come in the temple, you leave your shoes outside. So when you chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy, you leave your material desire. Poof, it's gone. Because you're not meditating. You're not focusing on material things. You let go of yourself. That's why you feel so free and happy. If you're swimming across a raging river, you have to be a good swimmer to get across. You can't just swim
I remember in Mayapur, one devotee from Australia, he said, "Oh, I'm a good swimmer. I swim in the sea and, you know, and catch waves and stuff, and I can swim in the Ganges." We're just little kids who said, "Oh, go ahead." He jumped in and said, "Oh, help me." And the current was taking him away. You have to know how to swim in the Ganges, even if you're an Olympic swimmer. So we had to drag him out. We're little kids, we can swim across the Ganges. We know the technique. And go against the current. So we have to be expert how to be practice Krishna consciousness. Expertise in serving Krishna is when we can be let go of our desires. And you feel very light. So it's like when you're swimming, you have to be keep yourself very light. You never go swimming with full stomach. Because you get drowned, your body is heavy. So your body is light and you swim with the current. And look, never look behind. Because if the current is taking you so fast that if you look behind you, you feel like, "Oh my God, I'm getting dragged. So you freak out. So you always look ahead. So everything has a method. The method of Krishna consciousness is the process of meditation. That meditation doesn't mean you sit. Krishna explains it in Bhagavad Gita, how to meditate. You know, sit in a secluded place, on a deer skin, eyes half closed. He explains it. He gives the whole process, but then he says, "But it's not easy." He says, "Not that easy in this age." Then he says in the sixth chapter, "Your mind will disturb you." Mind. Mind is an enemy because it's always trying to pull you down. I've seen this lady, every day she comes out of this house and she has 6 or 7 dogs. And when you take your dog for a walk with one dog, that's easy, but she has 6 dogs. And she's got them all in the rope. And each dog, they're all going in different directions. You know, imagine trying to pull 6 dogs it's really difficult. So it's our mind like that. It's just going everywhere. So how to bring the mind back? So this process of Bhakti Yoga is very simple. You know, we had this this play. They used to do drama play. And the devotees would be distributing books on the street. And they would come. The man was like really very disturbed. And so two devotees would come from two sides and grab his arm and chant Hare Krishna into the ear very loudly. And then give him a book. Give him a book and sell him a book, Bhagavad Gita and our books. Then he would come to the temple and then shave off and then become a devotee, and here he was. So we used to demonstrate that the process of devotional service, it can bring you under control through chanting Hare Krishna, through associating with devotees. So then it's not that, "Oh yeah, I'm going to meditate. I'm going to the yoga class and they're going to show me how to meditate." Not that easy to meditate. Moment you sit down, you close your eyes, you're going to find yourself sleeping half the time. That's what happens. You know, and you hear, I just people sleeping on a yoga mat during the relaxation time. And you hear all of the room. So I tell them, "Time's up, time to get out." And they say, "No." I tell them that you don't need to take a sleeping pill. Just by in relaxing, you can sleep well. So sometimes meditation means just going to sleep. If you think meditation is the purpose of meditation, is to realize God, I don't think so. Because half of them are snoring and sleeping. Where is the realization of God? So ultimate process of meditation, is Prabhupada explains this through Bhakti Yoga, the process of devotional service. If you cannot realize Krishna through Bhakti Yoga, it is simply a a material thing, bodily consciousness. That's all it is. So people don't have idea what is meditation. Just like you climb the top of a tree. I remember in India, when I was growing up, I loved climbing the tree. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you want to do things that are not easy to do. And there is one papaya tree. You never try to climb a papaya tree because it's very soft. You just go. So you go, you climb up, about halfway you start to shake, then you come down. But then it wasn't a good idea. So then I climbed the mango tree. Because if there's a mango tree and there's a mango inside that tree, one mango is ripe, then you know there's a ripe mango in that tree. And so you want to try to get that ripe mango. So we press all the mangoes, they're all hard. There's one of them is soft. So my point is, we climb the top of the mango tree. If it's a really big, big mango tree, you climb the top of the, and you can see everyone down. So yoga explains that highest meditation is when you are at the top of the ladder. You can see everybody down. And they say, oh, look away over there. So when you reach the platform of meditation, you're the top of the tree, which means that one can see others from the top. So it doesn't mean you can, when we come to the top of the ladder, you know where you are at, where you belong. So you see the different conditions of life. But if you're down, you can't see. So the idea of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is like that. You climb to the top of the tree, then you can see the process. It's that everything else is, you're in the highest performing devotional service. You can see things more clearly when you, through the process of devotional service. So otherwise, you'll misunderstand. You'll misunderstand the process of bhakti yoga in a different way, because you have to hear the bhakti yoga from a right person who can explain to you. Mouth of a sadhu, a mouth of a devotee. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of milk. You know, everybody likes to drink milk. They have this ahimsa milk, you know, non-violent milk. And then people are buying, take it home, and because the milk you get it from the supermarket, you know, it's, they hurt the cow, and then maybe it has chemical, maybe so many things. They take the cream out, just the milk's not pure anymore. But the idea is people want to drink milk. So I remember we had our own cows, and in India a long time ago, even now, if you want pure milk, it's very difficult to get pure cow's milk because they always add water. It's better than putting chemical, but then water can also make you sick because water is not pure. So they even add the water in the milk. So they have, you can tell when you look at the water, there's on the side of the milk, there is water. It's very clear. So it's like drinking white water in India. And so we had our own cows. So the cow, one cow, would give enough milk for the whole family. So it's important to drink milk. So I remember that's why I drank this pure milk. So Prabhupada gives the example. So the milk has a lot of nutrition. So it's the same milk if touched by the snake, serpent, it becomes poisonous. It's all there. Because the poison from the mouth goes into the milk, and that milk becomes poisonous. So similarly, even though Krishna consciousness is pure, if you are not devotee of Krishna, you explain the knowledge, the same knowledge, in a wrong way, you get the wrong understanding. So even if you are chanting Hare Krishna, you need to be, you have to have that Hare Krishna mantra has to be given to you from a guru who has authorization. They call it the authorization code to get in the house and the code. So the spiritual master, they need to give you that mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. Because no, I don't need it. I can do it all myself. I don't need a guru. No, that's not the attitude. Krishna himself accepted the spiritual master. So the process is to humbly accept the process under the shelter of the guru, the spiritual master. Submission. We don't say, oh yeah, I can do it. I don't need anybody to help me. That's like a child said, oh, I don't need a father and mother. I can do it. No. Then you go away, then you get into trouble. So we need to perform Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, sadhus. Just like before, he used to send email. Now he have email. Before he used to send letters to India. So he said, I don't need to send letters because I'll just make my own post box and from my own house and put the letter there. So Prabhupada gives the example, you make your own post box, put a letter, and it's not going to go anywhere. So the letter box, the post box, has to be recognized by the government. Then you put the letter, it will go to your destination. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is absolute, but it still you need to follow the system, authorization, Guru Parampara system. Sadhu, the spiritual master, the devotees, they recognize your Krishna consciousness. It's not that you can just do it on your own. This is why we have this temple. You also have a temple in your home. Why do you come here? Because this is where we're making our link. Isn't it? So, he said, oh, no, I have it at home, I have it. Krishna is everywhere, I don't need it. Still, we need to make the connection from here. This is the beginning point. This is the place Prabhupada has started it. Krishna is there in our heart too. He's everywhere. But still, we need that post box. Don't make your own post box. Isn't it? Very simple example. I always like startled me when I heard this example. No. ISKCON. No. They talk too much about Krishna. I need to hear about Shiva and Brahma. They don't talk enough of that. You know. This is even on Janmashtami, why we get so many Indian people? Because they know we are crazy about Krishna. And Asamas, the demigods. They know that. That's why they come here. They say, oh yeah, Hare Krishna, yeah. They are Radha Krishna, you know, they love it. So we are performing what Krishna says, Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. You have Shiva and you have Brahma, and not so much Brahma, Shiva and Durga and Ganesh. Right? This is always, you go to any Hindu temple, and Ram Lakshman and Sitaram. And then Krishna, Radha Krishna in the middle, like everybody's saying. Well, we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is everything for us. Radharani and Krishna. And Krishna says, Janti Deva Prata Deva. Krishna says, those who worship me, they come to me. If you worship other, you go to there. So we want to go to Krishna. So our temples, it's like that spiritual world where you find Krishna here. And even the demigods, they love Krishna. Demigods, they're the managers. They're working under the direction of Krishna. It's not that they are separate from Krishna. They were worshiping Krishna as the supreme. But they forget because of the sense gratification in the heavenly planets. So, meditation means when we can understand that devotional service, loving devotional service to Krishna is the highest. There's nothing else. When you understand that this is the conclusion of the Shastra, Bhakti Yoga. There's so many different processes. The process of Bhakti Yoga is the highest. Why? Because it directly connects us to Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar Devotion that when you do devotional service, when you chant Hare Krishna, that you feel happy instantly. That's how we know. Because you immediately feel happy by chanting Hare Krishna. You don't have to wait. Just by saying Hare Krishna to a devotee, you feel happy. Because they're all connecting us to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was said that our ISKCON temples are the windows to the spiritual world, are the embassies of the spiritual world. He says Los Angeles temple, he says this is Goloka Vrindavan, Los Angeles. You see the movies, they make movies, Los Angeles, New York. He didn't want to go after. But he said, Los Angeles Hare Krishna temple, he said this is the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. When you walk down the road on Wasaka Avenue, it's spiritual world. Both sides of the road, the devotees staying. Everybody, hey, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. You know, the windows. And Melbourne Temple is spiritual world. So, no, I want to go to the spiritual world. You are already in the spiritual world. This temple is the spiritual world. So, devotees have already performed all types of meditation and yoga processes. Once we chanting Hare Krishna, when you are doing devotional service, when you chanting Hare Krishna to Krishna, associating the body, you've already performed all those processes of yoga systems in a past life. I've heard one sannyasi did a regression, and in a regression, they can tell your past life, and they said he was a yogi in the Himalaya. He was a perfect yogi. But he still had to come down. And he's not perfect enough to go to back to Godhead because he had to be devotee of Krishna. So he took birth in New York and joined Srila Prabhupada in his next life. And I've heard one devotee went to one of the temples in Vrindavan. And the pujari told the devotee, you might have heard this story, and he said that if you want to worship this deity of this temple here in Vrindavan, you have to take birth here. You have to take birth in Vrindavan to an American devotee. So he went back to Prabhupada and told, that they said that if you want to worship this deity, you have to take birth here. So Prabhupada told him to go back and tell him if you want to go back to Krishna, if you want to serve, he has to take birth in New York. So don't think that you go to Himalaya and then you can go back to Godhead. Take birth in, and I was born in the holy place too, in Santipur. I mean, where it's a very spiritual place. But I haven't heard about Krishna from anybody there until I heard it from the American devotees. They told me about Krishna. So, we have the chance to become Krishna conscious, all the opportunity, but we still need to connect ourselves through a person who knows. It doesn't need to be, of course, they do the background check. That is important. But everybody is Krishna conscious underneath. Deep down, you have spiritual life. People, they have some knowledge underneath. Even if you are deep, materially ignorant person, still, they have some idea about God. Even the Aborigines, they also worship rocks and the rivers. They have some belief. No one can say, sorry, I didn't know. Nonsense. Even if your child says, you put your finger in the fire, ouch, I got burnt. And the fire will burn anybody. Even if you didn't know, that's your problem. So ignorance is not an excuse. Everybody has equal chance to know about God. Every human being is born with knowledge. It's deep down, it's scratch, 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 underneath. We have this Bhagavan. We have spiritual knowledge.
This is why human being can accept spiritual life. They don't want to know, that's the problem. The problem is not there. We create the problem, isn't it? So I didn't know because you don't want to know. It's not that the knowledge is not telling you, it's not only for Indians, or it's for everybody. If you don't want to know, no one can help you. I can't force you to throw it down your throat. I accept Krishna consciousness like that person in the outside the Flinders Street. Jesus away! Bathed in the blood of Jesus. That's true, but people are not paying attention to him. Everyone just walking past. And we go on Hare Nam, Hare Krishna, and singing and dance like swinging up and back and forth. Everyone's so happy. There's a lot. That's the way to do it. We don't force people. Even if we saw the Hare Krishnas for the first time, like I didn't join the devotees Hare Krishna, but I was walking down the road, and there are so many people come from countryside, country people. They say, oh, there goes the Hare Krishnas. We saw them in the 70s, the 80s. They know the Hare Krishnas. So any boys in the street chanting, they can recognize us. So everything has a process. If you want to impress Krishna, if you want to associate with Krishna, if you want to see him, you can. He says here, face to face. You can see Krishna face to face. You can even see Krishna face to face now. You can talk to him. He's talking with us. We just don't believe it. Every day, he's in our heart. He's telling us. Every time we go in the street, he's talking to us. He tells us something, telling us. A devotee tells you, Miss Krishna is telling you. These books, in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said is written by Krishna. Prabhupada was just dictating it. Krishna was telling and he was writing it. These are words of Krishna. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, you read Bhagavatam, this is Krishna's telling us. That's why Prabhupada always emphasized devotees to read these books. Because one time Prabhupada was reading his books and he was very observant reading. So the devotee came in the room and he says, he was just reading and reading. And then he stopped. He said, Prabhupada, this is, you wrote the book and you're reading it. He said, no, I didn't read it. I didn't write it. I wrote it, but Krishna spoke. That's why I'm reading it. I'm so observing it because Krishna spoke. Otherwise, so he himself, Prabhupada said, I'm reading it because I feel so interesting. Krishna spoke this Bhagavad Gita. And he just wrote it down. Hare Krishna. So we are having a very deep conversation here about Krishna. Yes, Krishna, the altar here. Krishna, he plays the flute. And Krishna has a beautiful lady. She is the consort of Krishna. So Krishna is the supreme. Supreme is one who enjoys. The supreme enjoyer. We all think we are the enjoyer. But Krishna, God, is the supreme enjoyer. Like just like we go to work, you don't play flute. You think you're not. They throw you out of the office. You come to work and you're playing flute. So when you're enjoying, you play flute. Easily. So Krishna is playing flute. He doesn't go to work like us. God is enjoying it. He's full of love and full of happiness. So we think we are the enjoyer. But then we never pick up the flute because we're not the enjoyer. But we enjoy by serving the person who's playing the flute, Krishna. Just like a servant and the master. A servant can never think, I'm the master. But the master doesn't say, you serve me or else you go to hell. He doesn't say that. He says, you can serve me or you can serve yourself. But you can find out yourself. If you serve Krishna, you will feel happy. When you try to serve yourself, you will see for yourself there's a lot of trouble in there. It's like if you, like I just give you an example, if you
swim across the river, and you have a big bag of rocks in your back, and you're trying to swim across, you're going to drown. So when you make yourself very light, you don't have a bag of a big bag on your back, then you can swim smoothly. So the bag we're carrying is in our heart. The desire. So many desire. I want a better car. I want a nice home in Melbourne, most second livable city in the world. And I want to have a nice house by the ocean, you know, sun shining. And just desires. On and on. So many desires. If you have a first house, then you have a second house, then you say on and on. So we are never satisfied. So satisfaction comes from serving Krishna. Just like clapping hands. What the Indian people, they come, you know, what do they get out of it? They come to the temple and they're so absorbed, they're singing and everything, because they feel the real satisfaction is in serving Bhagavan, God, Supreme. Who is the real enjoyer? We're not the enjoyer. We think we are the enjoyer. We're scratching off, trying to enjoy, to squeeze out the pleasure of this world. And once you get it, and then whenever you see a very sports car, you look the driver, who is driving it? And an old man, 60-year-old man. He worked so hard for it, and finally he got the sports car, and very soon he has to leave it all behind. He worked so hard for it. So, you work all your life to get that sports car, and just 5 years before you die, you're showing off. But what is the actual enjoyment in it? You're holding the car, everybody looking. So it's a very subtle sense enjoyment, but there's no real enjoyment there. The enjoyment is different from the real enjoyment. So meditation is means when you can understand the real enjoyer is Supreme Lord. It's like one happy family. We're happy family, all of you are happy family, because you're not thinking it's my family. You're thinking we are Krishna's family. We are God's family. We're eternal family of Krishna, where we live eternally in the spiritual world. That is our family. This is why we're running to the temple, because we want to be with the Supreme Master, who is Supreme Enjoyer. So you have to hear this knowledge of Krishna from a devotee, because devotees, they can explain to you in a way that is very satisfying, because they have love for Krishna. If we have love for ourselves, automatically we have to have love for Krishna. If you are sleeping all night, and then it's already 10 o'clock in the morning, and you're thinking, oh, I'm still sleeping, but the room is very dark, and you don't know that it's already 10 o'clock. Sometimes even 12 o'clock. You have so much of those at night, you don't notice it. So when you open the curtain, you see all this light coming in. You say, oh my God. So when the light of knowledge, spiritual light, the sadhu, the spiritual master, the devotees of Krishna tells you, then we are waking up to that knowledge that's in our heart from the ignorance, showing us the path to the light of spiritual life. So it's very, very simple to understand meditation. Any questions? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. You made a point in the beginning of the class about being grateful for what we have been given and not taking it for granted. Can you tell us some of your experience that how it made you stick to this point? Obviously, mind is complacent and you can take it for granted.
Sometimes when we say something, also we speak from our own realization. And so we can speak the Bhagavatam very eloquently a lot of philosophy, very guided way. We have everything written down. But also, I feel, also we need to speak that some experience from our own realization, maybe it happened to us, then we take more seriously. So it's realized knowledge. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm realized, but when we say something, you can tell, oh, it makes sense. So we speak through philosophy with example and stories. So, you know, I joined Hare Krishna ISKCON in this, at the age of 6. So that's a long time ago, in the 70s. And from that time till now, there's a lot of things happened in my life and also in our society. Up and down changes, you know, so many issues. So you can take it or leave it. You can take Krishna consciousness, drop it. And you go after self-gratification. Be a materialistic person, like so many of my God brothers did it. But then many have come back because they saw we tried our best and they're coming back to temple again. Because, so, speaking is one thing. We have to also know the conclusion of everything. That their enjoyment is in serving Krishna. We have to fully believe it. It's just like if you eat, you know you feel satisfied and your hunger is gone. That's one thing. But then if you take each bite, try to relish it nicely. Oh, yes, it tastes good. And you just swallow it and it's just gone and you finish your meal and go about your way. Try to experience it. Try to relish it. Take each bite and see, wow, the cook is good. The person who cooked it, and it tastes good, the spicing. You know, there's so much technology in it. Technicality and understanding. Not just you just swallow it and bust, and you burp and you go away. What a child. Yeah. And then there should be some understanding of what we do in our processes. So realization comes from also how we put ourselves into the process, not just make it so mechanical and then that's finished. There has to be understanding in it. There has to be, you become more sincere and serious to know more. More relish the process. The more you put yourself effort to know more, you will see the result comes. But if you just do it, it's just like if you buy something, you see what the ingredients are and where does it expire, what's in it. Not just you buy it and then I take it in. So you have to see what we're doing, why you're doing, what's the process, is healthy for me, am I developing Krishna consciousness nicely, am I making progress, or just, you know, so there's so many things. Then it comes. Am I pleasing Guru? Am I chanting Hare Krishna nicely? Am I just getting it done every day, just like a job? So there has to be the Krishna consciousness is conscious activities. Let me serve the devotee. Let me not eat. This is voluntarily. Why people want to voluntarily? Because they feel there is satisfaction in that by serving. By giving charity, by serving, you feel good. There's a higher pleasure in it than just accepting it. So chanting Hare Krishna, you're giving pleasure to Krishna. Chanting and dancing Hare Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna. Going out chanting in the street, this gives pleasure to Krishna. Sacrificing your own pleasure. Paradokaduki, you feel unhappy to see others unhappy. So there's philosophy is there, but then we also need to practically understand and realize that to be able to go deeper into the process. A lot of things. Okay? Like, I was talking last a month and a bit in Taiwan and Hong Kong. The devotees there are, I haven't seen an Indian person for a month. Like, you know, they're all like Chinese. And so I was thinking, I arrived in Melbourne, I was like, so many people, different type of people, Indian, Chinese, and Westerners, and you don't see them there, because usually Indian people go where there's money, maybe. So you don't see them in China so much. So it's also very nice to see different types of devotees. So there's so much variety in this Krishna consciousness. So sometimes I remember I used to see photos of Krishna and the gopis and different and cows, and sometimes some coward boys, they're blue in color. I mean, I thought Krishna was blue, but there's some coward boys in blue. That means there's variety, but there's no conflict. Well, I'm blue, why are you blue too? You know, there's not like, there's like clashes, none of that. Because spiritual world is full of variety. Full of variety. There's no conflict. And everyone is serving Krishna. If Krishna is blue and you're blue, but the guy who is blue, he knows Krishna, he is God. I'm blue, but I'm just blue, but he is the Supreme. So there's no mixing. This is all, there's variety, but in common goal. So there was like in Taiwan and China, and they would translate. I say they would translate. Sometimes they would go off, you know, like, and I forget what I'm saying. So some devotees, they speak Chinese, like Western devotee. So they're a translator, and they say something different. Then, you know, hey, you're saying something different. Why didn't you say that? So I'm just saying this point that coming back here, it feels good because then I can just say, you know, nicely. I don't have to have a translator. Instead, give it to you straight. Any other questions? Is it any special day today or?
No, tomorrow. Yesterday was Lalitashtami.
I know tomorrow is, yeah. And today is special day because it's the day before the special day. Tomorrow's gonna be a big day, huh? Radhashtami. If you love Krishna, you have to please Radharani. You cannot love Krishna without pleasing her. It's like if you offend the wife, the husband will not be happy, usually. So, or either way, if you please Radharani, you can please Krishna. And they say that first you have to please the devotees and please the master, and then him please Radharani, and then Krishna. So it's not that I please Krishna directly. You have to please devotees. You go around offending devotees, the Radharani is not going to be happy about that. She's watching. Because whatever displeases Krishna, she will be very unhappy. Because, so if you offend Krishna's devotee, then Radharani is unhappy. And that Radharani is unhappy, then Krishna is unhappy. So your life finished. So you have to be very careful to make sure that you please the devotees, not displease. So I always, even if I'm walking past, like I know who you all are, and I see you 10 times a week, I still say Hari Bol to you. I remember in Hong Kong, I said, one Mataji, and I always say Hari Bol. I said, why you say Hari Bol to me? Didn't you see me before? I said, okay, you know, I say Hari Bol anymore. If they have any problems, I don't want to say Hari Bol. But I'm saying that, you know, we always try to be nice to each other in a Krishna conscious way. Yeah, and like it's not that we work in an office and everyone's just like moody at each other and grumbling at each other, and you can't wait to get out of that place at the end of the day and get your salary, and you're thinking badly of the boss. Shouldn't be like that. Should be very, very pleasing. This is the temple, and you feel like Krishna, you know, playing the flute. He's playing the flute because he's happy. If Krishna is playing the flute, we're not playing the flute, but we look all unhappy. What kind of temple is that? Krishna is God. He's representing here. And we're walking around on morose. So we have to be representing Krishna. So I always feel I'm most blissful. It's not like you're going to live here for thousands of years. We're only going to live 50 years or less. So take it very happily. Enjoy Krishna consciousness. Every drop of it. You know, whatever you do, We are here for a short time. You know, last year my mother passed away, my dad passed away years ago, I everyone's passing away. And even we, our turn's going to come too. So we're not going to be here forever. 50 years we're gone. Take it seriously. Every drop of Krishna consciousness, enjoy it. Don't offend anyone. Even if they slap you, oh, thank you, Prabhu. Accept it. You have mercy, thank you. One more, please. And nobody hurts you here. Yeah. So watch out. We have to see, you know, like talking about realization. We have to see what pleases Krishna. Yeah. So Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.